Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha and what's up, my beautiful friends, and thank you for joining me again for this fabulous episode. And we are going strong, my friends. We have made it to 1 month, and now going forward, I will be posting, see, I'm just like so used to Instagram. I will be posting, I will be uploading a new episode every first and third Thursday of the month. So please stick with me. In the future, I would love to have more, and I might be able to bump it up a little bit more. But like I said, I unfortunately have a normal life outside of this, where I have to be a mother and a marketer and a gym owner and all those wonderful things that take a lot of time. But today, my beautiful ladies, we have a special guest, and we have somebody who, she turned to the dark side, okay? She started off as a powerlifter, and she went full strong woman. We have Miss Hulk Smashley 31. That is her Instagram. We have Ashley Deal, who is, I have to tell you that this, you know, podcast I had with her was one of the funnest podcasts I've had. One of the best shows that I just really vibed with Ashley. And she has this like amazing, candid, doesn't give a fuck attitude, but not in a way that's like a dickhead. She is able to kind of let down your guard for you, and speak to you in a way that makes you laugh and also makes you feel something, and has so much energy that you just kind of like want to be around her. And I wanted to jump through the computer. We totally hit it off. Like, we've never talked before prior to this. And I reached out to her because I'm loving what she does, outside of her own, strongman training. She started this group of women called Shield Maiden Squad. Pretty much it's a community of strong women, that can just train together and support each other and be there for each other. Almost like I would say like starting strongman is in a way, maybe not as much programming and all that, if you're familiar with starting strongman, but it's almost a community base where people can reach out and find questions and look for places that they might train at, and be able to be with other women who are interested in strongman and maybe have nowhere to turn. And she really talks about her beginning and how difficult it was for her to even find strongman equipment. I mean, it's hard for us as powerlifters to find bars sometimes and plates. I mean, it's a lot easier nowadays than it might have been like 10 years ago. But imagine trying to find a yoke or a stone or a heavy sandbag or sleds to drag. You know, those kind of implements, they're really, really hard to come by. It's not that popular. So she wanted to be able to not have any woman who was interested in strong women competing or strong women in general have to go through what she did, which was pretty much have to find it out on your own, which, you know, she did. But I love that she started this group and she gets into it, and it makes me want to jump on board, you know? Ashley really breaks down how she likes to train for nationals, which is actually very similar to us, you know, when we're peaking for a meet, how she likes to incorporate the yokes and the things that she has to use. Like many of us, she started off going to the gym because she just felt like she was, you know, too big. Like she said that she was morbidly obese at one point and really went in there to kind of, you know, quote unquote, look good, and instead found this beauty in loving what her body could do. And I feel that that resonates a lot with women like us, because we're competing or we're training to perform, not necessarily look good. You know, looking good, yes, we do. I would say most of us want to quote unquote look good, but we're really there to perform better. Now, you know, now that we have this show up, she just recently won Florida's Strongest Woman. So she is actually going back on the platform for nationals. I don't even know if they call it platform. No, I guess it would just be back on the stage. I don't know. They kind of like have a whole area. I should probably get this terminology down. Well, she's going back to nationals because she is a fucking badass. And in the beginning, she actually talks about this massive contusion she has on her leg. If you go to her Instagram, Hulk Smash Lee 31, she like, you don't even see it happen, but she drops a 200-pound bar on her thigh as she's trying to actually, I think, press it. So she has to deadlift it, pull it, and normally they kind of rack it on their belt to adjust their hands, and it kind of slipped and fell on her leg. Dude, this contusion on her leg, it looked like a small child hid underneath her skin and then expanded its body underneath. It was disgusting, and she actually had to get it drained. It's still fucked up, and she was competing this past weekend and still killed it, and she won every event. So big ups to her. We're super excited to see her go to nationals. And this episode, of course, is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, out in Huntsville, Alabama, ladies. So if you ever want to come by and train, please come. We love all women, all men too. We enjoy all of you, but since it's mostly women listening to this, every Saturday we have a free open gym from 9 to 11, where anybody, strongman, powerlifter, anybody in strength sports can come and just train their asses off. It's free. I just kind of want to build a small community of people who just want to get strong together and have fun doing it. If you have any questions about training or you want to join one of our group classes where we do incorporate a lot of the main lifts as well as strongman training, you can visit www.core256.com. And let's get it going with Miss Ashley. Formal anyways, but I guess to start off, how are you feeling? How are your freaking legs?
I'm good. It was crazy because I was so like, this is my first nationals. I got two invites to nationals, but this is my first time actually going. And I rushed it a little bit on the axle, like nerves and everything like that. Okay. So the very first event, it's the axle, it's 210 and it's a press away. So as many reps as you can get. Mm-hmm. And I cleaned it and it hit something wrong and it just went boom, like right onto my leg. So it ended up hitting like full throttle, 210 pounds on my thigh. So oh now I think fractured muscle, but I'm still going back to the gym next week. But you know what I'm saying? there's nothing keeping me. I'm supposed to go to Maryland soon. So I'm just jacked up on painkillers and shit, which is awesome.
So what did they say? They said you tore the muscle or it just kind of like really bruised it?
Like a really fucked up bruise is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's more so like right now it's the swelling. It's actually like 4 inches bigger than my other thigh.
Oh my God.
So it's almost like a preview of what my fucking thighs used to look like 3 years ago when I was like super overweight. I'm like, fuck, this is terrible. But yeah, it's doing good. I feel all right. Everything else it's kept my mind off of any other aches and pains. Cause usually after a comp, especially like a 2 day, comp, there's, you just feel like shit.
Know what I mean? I was watching some of the videos. I seen Monica Greg. Yeah. She had posted some videos and, those events are rough. So, I mean, there's, you know, why don't you run through kind of what you did at nationals and, maybe how you geared up for it?
Yeah. What I did, pretty much I got with my coach Dimitar, who's an awesome guy. Yep. And we did, it kind of got to him a little bit late cause I transitioned, from my other coach to him. So we were doing pre-comp for about 8 weeks. So you basically like start like getting your implements ready, start running through everything. And then eventually, you know, you kind of, with your numbers that you're using, you kind of peak. Mm-hmm. As soon as you get ready for, you know, nationals, basically. Mm-hmm. So basically you try to make it so you hit the numbers you need to hit, but not overdo it.
Right.
So when I got there, I was like definitely ready to go. I was ready to fucking kill it. I was like, hell yeah. And I was like, I don't give a fuck what that axle did to my leg or because it was the first thing out of like five things in 2 days. So I was like, okay, so I'm not gonna go home without being top 10. There's no fucking way. So I just taped that shit up and kept going.
So did you see anybody? Did you see a trainer there? Nothing? You just kept going?
The last day after the last event, I finally gave in. And I was like, just tape this motherfucker up so I can go to the banquet and get shitty. It was crazy. It was nuts.
So you had to have it drained last night.
Yeah, I had it drained.
So this is a severity so that our listeners can know how severe this was. It wasn't, if you go to her page at Smashly, you'll see that it, Hulk Smashly, you'll see that it was like legit, like huge bruise on your thighs. He was huge.
Oh, I didn't even know it was. And the thing was, is like progressively, I was like, oh, it's just a little numb, you know, like maybe I just hurt some nerves, some shit. I still can't feel my fucking thigh. So I don't know how I got through it, but, yeah, it's pretty bad. It looks really fucking cool though. I got to say that. Like, I don't know what it is about strongman, but as soon as you're like, oh dude, I clipped my chin doing a 300 pound. And it's like, oh, that's dope. Like it's okay.
Yeah, totally.
Whatever. Yeah. What's an injury?
Ooh, I have to say how tough you are to fucking keep going. I think at that point too, you've trained so hard, and if you're not torn, you know, if it's a bruise, and it's like, all right, well, resting, well, that might help. But, you know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, you can push through it a bit.
Yeah. And there's a lot to do with, you know, like I've been competing. I started 3 years ago, not on strongman at all, actually. I was just like extremely overweight. And it wasn't like I didn't love the way I looked or like myself. I was literally like uncomfortable. Like I could feel my like stretch marks were getting itchy. Like I was gaining weight fast, you know? Yeah. And then all of a sudden my friend Crystal, she was like, hey, let's just like start working out. And first of all, the bitch said to start working out at 6 a.m. and I am not a morning person. So I was like, okay, fine. So after the first 3 days, I ended up doing like running in the morning, like at crunch, which is, no offense to crunch, but it's too cold in that motherfucker. Okay.
Oh, like, is it? I would have never expected that.
Dude, it's so cold. I was like, this sucks. And then I had a friend at work named Joe because he did CrossFit. And I was like, okay, because I mean, I did like in high school, I did wrestling, like I did cheerleading, I did everything, but I was like always a tomboy. So like, I don't want to run a fucking mile. I'd rather lift up something and do something like that.
Yeah, I feel so you.
I needed to, I literally, the day Crystal and I went, ever since then, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go the next 20 days. Without stopping. I'm not taking any rest days. I was like, it takes 20 days to build a habit. And it's been fucking years since I got my shit together physically. So I was like, you know, even being a single mom, I had no time, but I was like, I need to start making time to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So I, for the next 20 days, I worked out in the morning and, running with her. And then at night I would go to CrossFit.
Wow.
So I did that. And then by then I was so fucking sore. I was like, there's no way I'm stopping until I see some sort of line or like, I at least see what maybe are abs. I don't know. Yeah. But it was like, there's no way stopping me at that point.
You know, what's amazing to hear is that most people who do that, right? There's a lot of, I would probably say we've all at some point done this sort of like, fuck it. Let's go. I'm motivated. I want to change my diet. I want to change my training. And like now, if we probably did that, I would never recommend that to a client now, because I'm like, most people fail because it's too hard to change all those things.
It's rough.
It is rough. Really, and so it's nice to hear that somebody was like committed and they did it. And now here you are years later and you're still rocking it. So how did that transition? So you started off at CrossFit, started doing WODs, started that kind of movement. When did it change over to strongman?
Well, what happened, I started doing really well. And I, like, as far as like lifting heavy weight and, I was like, I love this part of it. I mean, I needed the cardio because you gotta, you know, get there. But I spent like a year doing CrossFit, and then I did like the CrossFit Open thing that we had at the gym.
Yep.
And I still did that shit. I know I was like the biggest bitch out there, but I fucking did, you know. And I was like, I love the weightlifting aspect. And then I had talked to the Neil Canterman, who's an awesome dude. He got me like, dude, you're strong. You can do this. Like, we need to see where you can go with this. And it was like my first deadlift that I ever did for a max was 300 pounds.
Wow.
And I was at that point though, I was 300 pounds. So it was wow. like insane. So, he actually was the first person to teach me how to do an Atlas stone. That was fucking 3 years ago. And I never picked up another one. And then there was a competition called, the Crush Games, which is, they don't do it anymore, but it was amazing. The first day was powerlifting. Okay. And then the second day was strongman. And I had never done strongman before. So I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. Right. So I ended up winning the first day, powerlifting. And then the second day I came in and I came in third.
So you did both days. Yeah, so
crazy. I was like, fuck yeah. And I actually did really well with other like people who've been doing like going to the Arnold and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, this is it. And so that was basically, that was my first powerlifting wow. meet and my last powerlifting meet. After that, it was all about strongman for me.
That is awesome. So then from yeah. there, you ended up training still at the same CrossFit gym?
It's really rough because finding a place that has actual implements and things like that. Yep. And what's even worse, finding a coach, like yep. just finding someone who can teach you yep. Is hard too. So I actually started doing a lot of strongman things by myself. And then I looked up and found CrossFit GMA, which is all the way in Pembroke Pines. So that's like 45 minutes from my job, an hour and a half from my house.
Wow.
And I was going every single day. And I finally got to touch everything. I got to learn everything. And then I started to get like good pretty quickly. And it just, as soon as you have like those PRs or, you know, personal goals, as soon as yeah. you catch that bug, there's yeah. no way you can stop. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I am a single mother, it got to be so expensive just to get drive. The gas to yeah. go there.
Oh my gosh. An hour and a half and 45. That's a lot yeah. every day.
Exactly. And I had just, my son's at 8, but I was going to school at night, working during the day and trying to train. Wow. So it was like a mess for a while. And then eventually I looked up and I found a couple gyms that were closer. My current gym, thank God I found them. They're, it's BBC, it's Broward Barbell Center. Mm-hmm. They had the implements, and then I lucked up and found a coach like that was focused on me. And yeah. it was like the coolest shit ever. I was like, this is amazing. I got programming.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just went crazy. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It's like one of those moments when you're like, you know, you spend your whole life thinking, oh, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you try it. And you're like, fuck, I can. It's like, what if I never would have picked up that first Atlas stone? I wouldn't even be doing this. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's yeah. very contagious. And when I was in El Paso, we had a small gym that I felt like was like a little treasure because they had powerlifting, they had regular stuff, but then they had strongman. They have West Texas Dungeon. I know the guys out there. And so I trained with them a few times just to try it out. And, you know, I'm small, I'm only 5 feet tall. And so I'm all trying to pick up these stones and walking with a yoke and all yeah. that. It is so like awesome though. It just feels so empowering to drag some huge sled and as fast as you can. So you're huffing and puffing. I think that there's a lot to be learned for the conditioning that you guys have to do that helps translate to even powerlifting. And, you know, that was one of the things that I had talked to the guys about. They're like, you know, if you train in strongman, it would help your powerlifting because the conditioning yeah. things you got to do. So, I mean, how did you transition? So you were saying that you were 300 pounds, which I can't even imagine. I've seen pictures on your page and you look like completely different. So when did that happen and how did that transition? Was it during this whole strongman time and your body just started changing?
Well, it started out what the thing that's so discouraging is like, you know, especially when you're starting to work out and you're starting to become like, I want this body or I want to not be in this body. You know,
yeah.
you see all these things that they sell you like, oh, a 30-day squat challenge yeah. and your ass will look like this. And it's like, no, bitch, it's not going to look like that. It takes fucking ever. I never used a scale. I said, fuck that. I yep. wore the same belt. I still have it. I wore the same belt for, it was actually my dad had to make a hole like at the end of it. Cause even though it was like XXL, it was still too fucking small.
Wow.
And I was like, this is going to be the last time. So I wore that belt every single day to work. I wore it like just to remind me, like, you're eating good, you're doing everything. Wow. And then slowly my body started to change, but it wasn't on the scale. Right. That's what the thing is, like, people think, you know, you're 200 pounds, but like, dude, 200 pounds can look a million different ways. So I started to just like focus on how my clothes were fitting. Yeah. It took me, I would say, like a good year to really be like, okay, my body has changed and I can get out of these fucking pants, yeah. you know, and I can like go shopping and do all those things. And then when I started conditioning like hardcore for competitions and things like that, all of a sudden, like my body changed, my like whole, I've never touched a scale. I still haven't done it. That's I refuse. Great. I know I'm heavyweight, but fuck it. I don't need to do that.
No, you don't need to. I mean, it doesn't, I think yeah. the scale is only useful in certain circumstances. If you're trying to, right. if you got to make weight and you're not a super heavyweight, or, you know, then of course you're going to need that. But no, if it's just for your own personal satisfaction, there's other exactly. markers that are way more valuable, such as your clothing, exactly. how you feel, how you look in the mirror.
Exactly. And I figure as long as you do the underwear test, dude, if you look good in your underwear, you're fucking fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing fine.
I thought you were going to say if your underwears aren't so tight, because, man, when I got so big, my underwears were so tight. I was like, oh, okay, this is a problem. Your bra, okay, but when your underwears are tight.
Dude, when the underwear says no, yeah. there's a fucking problem. Yeah,
there's a problem because they got a lot of elastic in there.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, there's a couple pairs of, like, pants. I can't believe the fucking buttons held on. Yeah. Like, they must have been screaming for help, because Jesus. But yeah, like, my body changed from like being like, you know, over really morbidly obese, to be honest. And it started to change with powerlifting. And then once I started, I mean, the CrossFitting was great for cardio. I have asthma. So being able wow. to be like, oh, wow, I can run a mile now. And then once it was like, hey, you know, it's been a year and I'm still not that picture of what I wanted, but I can't fucking believe what my body can do.
Yeah.
So it started to become about what kind of stuff can I do? Like, how much more can I lift? Like, yeah. and it just made me feel beautiful because my body could do it, not yes. because yeah. of what it looked like. Yes. So, you know, like, my whole mindset just was like, dude, you just did something you could never have said you could have done.
Yeah.
A year ago, like, I feel pretty because of that, not because I look, you know,
yeah.
like,
I lost. You gave me goosebumps yeah. right there, because I think that is really what I envision, and I hope that every woman who picks up a bar can feel that way, because we're so conditioned to want to look good, which is fine. You know, beauty is in the beholder, right? You're going to look good for right. everybody. But when you start validating things that you can't control, you know, when you can't control how people are going to look at you, or you can't always control how skinny you're going to get. But right. lifting really helps to bring that sort of confidence. And that's when you have that shift. And I had that same shift, you know, where it's like, you are proud of what your body can do, and no longer mm-hmm. so much of how it looks like. You start liking right. how it looks based off of what it can do. So, right. yeah, and I think that's amazing. What is your background? Are you Dominican?
No, actually, my mom's Black and Cherokee, and my dad's German Jewish.
Oh, no way.
Like a strongman Lenny Kravitz, bro.
You know what? That's so funny, because you even got the piercings. Like, yes, right. like him. That's...
It's like Lenny Kravitz or Dennis Rodman. I yeah. got the Kravitz. You know what I'm saying?
So tell me, why did you start Shields Maiden? Like, where did that all come from? And where did that come from? You know, where did it start?
Well, when I started to compete a lot, I realized, you know, like, to be a good competitor is really hard. It was so hard for me to find equipment. It was so hard for me to find someone to take you fucking seriously. Because, I mean, no matter what people think, even though women are in strength sports, it's not like we have, like, these things that are handed to us, or, like, all of a sudden we have all these resources. Like, it's hard to find,
yes.
especially as a woman. Yep. So when I finally was like, hey, I want to start teaching other women, like, hey, you can do this. It looks crazy, but you can do this, like, and I can show you can do this. And I was like, you know, I want to give women those resources I didn't have. Like, I want to get a whole bunch of badass bitches together, and even girls who've never touched it, and just give them an environment and a climate where they can feel like, hey, I'm not being judged. There's not a bunch of guys sitting there looking at my ass
yep.
the whole time. Somebody's going to actually really invest in you. All the girls, I talk to all of them individually. I train them if they need it. We throw, like, we have events. Like, we don't have a gym. because to be a Shield Maiden is just to fucking feel empowered and do whatever it is that makes you strong, whatever makes you feel strong. So it's like got an emphasis on strongman, but we have powerlifters, bodybuilders. We have, I mean, it's through those ways we have like, oh, wow, I just found somebody who knows how to do dieting like that I need, or right. I found a physical therapist, or, hey, I found a strongman coach, or I found a new gym near me that I didn't know existed that can give me those tools. And that stuff's hard to find.
Yeah.
And the camaraderie, too. I mean, and when it comes to like hardcore strength sports, I think it's so important that women support each other.
Yeah.
Because we have a tendency to be like, oh, yeah, you know, high five, she did great. But there's always like, it seems like it's a lot easier to have this underlying bitchiness about, you know what I mean? Oh, it's competitive, but then you're also being a little catty, you know what I mean? So like, we need to bring ourselves up. Like, you, I wanted to create a place where women would feel like safe with other women to push towards their goals and give them what they needed. And it's just like, I mean, these women come from, I mean, you have women who are, you know, fresh out of rehab, or women who are single moms, or women who are, you know, older and in a master's division that are just starting to do this. And it's because I gave them a place to do it. So I really thought that it was, I wanted to give the women who were interested or just curious the opportunities I didn't have.
Yeah.
Cause I had to try and fight for it. I had to find it. You know, I didn't have that many girlfriends that are sitting there doing strongman. I didn't know how to make those connections. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't have the, hey, you know, when you have a bad training day and you've been fucking working hard for 6 months, I mean, I always tell people you're going to break down at least 3 times in your training.
It's a good marker.
You know? you're going to have days where it's just like, why am I doing this? I didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you just need a network of people that you can be like, hey, I'm having a shitty day, and everybody's like, oh, dude, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to have support, and women aren't it, in this sport, especially, it's not there. It's crazy. Yeah. But I mean, at the competitions, you meet amazing girls, you make friends, but to be like, yo, let's all meet up and bring in our friends who've never touched it. Let's just like uplift each other and have a good time. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't. It's a lot harder. I've honestly never have been invited to a strongman meetup where we just be like, hey, let's just lift a car today.
Well, like, I could see the need for it. I feel like there are movements in powerlifting for that. You know, there's a lot more women who are trying to, you know, have seminars just for women. We have Strength Coalition. There's other powerlifting meets where they try to have the meetup, which I could see as a very big potential for you. I mean, because if you're saying that there's sort of that need for it, I mean, that's why I started this podcast, because I felt like there, you know, there's only a handful of podcasts that are, you know, for women. I think there's only two that I know that have women who are speaking about powerlifting in specific, not just strength sports. But it's exactly that. It's about a kind of expanding what we can do in order to bring other people in and kind of bring them all together. So it's nice. Exactly. I didn't realize it's like a small community. So you guys don't exactly even train at the same place, but it's more so just like a group of chicks that are just trying to like get together and support each other.
Exactly. Like, I created it because I wanted people to have other women to connect with, to like work with. And then I was like, I don't want to be attached to a gym, because I wanted, like, we travel. Like, I'll be like, hey, there's a bunch of girls in Tampa that want to hang out and do some stuff, or they want to learn some stuff. And I'm like, let's bring everybody there. Or we went to West Palm. We've been to, you know, Margate. We've been all over South Florida. Now we have girls in New York that want to do it. So we're like, hey, we'll bring the party to you, kind of thing. And it makes it so, like, wherever you're at, like, you can hopefully, you know, because it keeps growing, you'll be able to find other Shield Maidens in your area, and you'll be able to meet up with some girls and work out, you know, learn things.
I love that. And
it's bigger than a gym.
Yeah.
It's about a group of women who are like-minded, strong, supportive, and are trying to do something that other people may not be doing. And they have all the high fives and support phone numbers that they can get.
Yeah.
So I think it's really awesome, because I just didn't at all have that And I refuse to not let everybody else have it. Like, some of these girls, I mean, all of them have my phone number. There's a girl, we have like two of them in Australia right now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really growing, and it's because it's like, it's necessary. Yeah. And the thing was, is it started out because I love, obviously I compete in strongman. I was like, let's teach you guys something new. Yeah. And to see people's like faces light up when even a power lifter is lifting an Atlas Stone for the first time and was like, I can't believe I just did that. It's like, fuck yeah, you did. Yeah. You fucking did that. Like, hell yeah. So, I mean, it's like even, oh my God, that, like we have this thing coming up for gymnastics and I am not a mobility, like I'm a heavyweight. This shit's going to be funny, but if they want it, they can have it. So we're going to do a meetup and we're going to do like a little gymnastics seminar for, and you would be surprised how many strong women have been scared to go try it. So that are like, yes, yes. Like I'll have somebody be there. That's just as fucking awkward as I am. Like, yeah, okay, we'll do it together.
Hey, like, if you can't stretch yourself, then you'll never grow. You know, if you're always scared to do those kind of things, then you'll never grow, you know, even, exactly. Even in strongman, that's, it's so funny. The irony, right? Cause you're like afraid of, afraid of the smallest thing. Like, I don't want to go to yoga. I don't want to yoga. Yeah. Exactly. I'm afraid to go to yoga.
Exactly. What if I get stuck? I'm like, oh yeah, I can lift weight, but the little chick that can pull herself up like on those rings is a little intimidating to me. Cause I'm like, that shit ain't happening, but I'll try it. All right.
So let's take a little turn. Walk us through how you normally get ready. So, you know, warm up, what your training is like, how does it look maybe for a prep for nationals or a meet?
Always stretching. I'm still trying to become a better stretch. Like I suck sometimes at that. It's so necessary, but now that I've gotten to a certain place competitively, I realize how important it is to do those things. Trying to make sure that you, like, I try to condition myself, even though running isn't really something that you should do as much when you do strength, like strongman, just because of the impact on your joints. Mm-hmm. It's just really harsh. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can do elliptical, if you can do the bike, right. You know, the rower, things like that, try to keep your cardio up because, I mean, there's girls three times my size. So if they can lift the weight, that means I gotta move a little faster.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do a lot of that. My training is pretty, I usually probably train like 5 days a week for like 3 hours.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah. I mean, I like to do a lot of, the implement work, but really when it comes down to it, which is what I love about powerlifters, it's like, you guys already have an amazing baseline because, even now I'm trying to like perfect my deadlift. Mm-hmm. Those are so important because those certain muscles are so necessary.
Yeah.
I even do bodybuilding, do a lot of dumbbell stuff. I mean, we have a couple bodybuilders in the group, but there's like these little muscles you wouldn't even really think you needed to train on that make all the difference in the world. So, I try to keep it as broad spectrum as I can. I do a lot of implement work closer to comp time, just because it's like, it's more about getting stronger, getting your conditioning up. And then when you're about 8 weeks out, that's when you start to, okay, we need to start lifting more Atlas Stones. We need to start, you know, working on the comp weights, all that stuff. And then you get, and pretty much you just do that grueling until it's comp time. And then you take a little breather and then it's go time. You know what I mean?
Very similar to powerlifting. And I mean, there are a lot of training cycles that we'll have, you know, we're going to work on strength. And then as we kind of get closer to the meet, then we're working with, you know, either a flex bar or working on real weights, or we're kind of working in a pattern that might simulate the meet. But you know, it was funny when I did start doing a little bit of the strongman stuff, that was the one thing I noticed, is that it does take a long time. And I think it's just the nature of the sport, because you have these implements and because you have to have so much rest periods, and the way, like, we would do, like, I just hopped in with the guys a couple times, but we would do like yoke overs. Stone over bar. Right. So I would do a couple of those, and then I'd run off, and then I'd pull something, and then I'd yoke and whatever. But that right there was so long when I thought about it. It's like, and then you got to do a bunch of those, you know?
It's the same thing. It's like, I mean, it's maybe 60 to 90 seconds each event.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like the longest fucking 90 seconds of the
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, even in the last, the medley at Nationals this year was the Mauser block at 210 and then a duck walk. And then once you got done with that, you had to pull a sled.
So what is the Mauser walk?
The Mauser block is, yeah, it's actually like, it looks like a huge suitcase kind of a thing.
Yes.
It's loadable. Paul Mauser, you're the man. He did a great job. It's a fun implement. It's almost like if you had to grab a fucking crazy suitcase and run with it.
Yes.
There you go. And I have short arms. So it was like, okay, you got short arms. Your tits are too big. You better pick that bitch up and run with it. Cause I don't have the time. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the duck walk, you're literally.
I just want to point out short arms and big tits is great for benching. So if you ever go to powerlifting,
you're the fourth person to tell me that. And I'm just like, I think I might have to do a powerlifting
meet
now.
Your range of motion would be so, just right there. Boom.
It's like an inch. There's like not, I mean, there's so much titty. I wear like four sports bras to get through like one training session. It's like, just strap these motherfuckers down. I wish I could take them off and then like work out, put them back on kind of a thing.
Yeah. My cousin used to tell me that.
But then you have like the duck walk, which you basically are holding a handle and then it's loaded with weights and you have to put it almost between your leg. And that's what makes you do this.
Right. I have seen that.
Yeah. And then it's like hand over hand, you know, sled pull. So just like I said before, with the bodybuilding aspect, you know, dumbbells and all the things that bodybuilders do to trigger certain muscles, like your lats, your entire back, like making sure you're working all that out just for those kinds of events is essential. Like, I mean, it's 90 seconds. I think I did it in 28 seconds.
Wow.
The whole. Yeah. But you're almost dead when you finish.
Oh my God. Wow. That's fast. Yeah. So I can imagine the power output that you have to have for that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and then, there's different kind of styles of bars, like the axle bar, which is about 2 inches around. Like I have small hands. They had a dead sled axle bar deadlift at 470 pounds. So for me, I had to figure out how to get my hands around it and then lift it up. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's definitely, there's so much technique in it that you have to be fast and precise. Otherwise, you're fucked.
Yeah. And I could see, I feel like there's so much that would help powerlifting in strongman, because you are talking about stability. I mean, we work in one motion, you know, we're in that sagittal plane motion. We're just moving here. I mean, it's really that one motion, but once you start taking into play where you got to move around, I mean, your stability muscles become so much stronger. You don't have to. And for me as a small woman, it's fun for me, you know, so like when I'm throwing things around and, you know, I just have so much fun where we have a small gym in Alabama. So we like, I'll throw stuff outside and, you know, I'm just, you know, it's fun. And so we have what do we have now? We have sandbags. We actually got, I think we were being a little ambitious, but we bought a 300 pound, sandbag. So we fill it up. So the 300 is like, it's not so bad, but the way it's shaped, it was like a big round thing. And so it's like you just couldn't even lift it. So my husband, he's like, it's just like this weird, awkward blob that you can't even like get up. So we had to end up selling it. Yeah. It was like, nobody can even freaking move it. We called it King Arthur. You know, it was like, anybody can move. We actually put a challenge out last year. Like, if anybody can move this from here to there, they get a free membership. Nobody even came. It was like, it's so hard. But we love having all those different implements here. And it's so much fun to do. And gosh, I wish I could have came and watched you at Nationals. You going to have any videos up?
I'm going to start posting some. I have the one with the axle where it landed. I figured that'd be fun so I could be like before and after.
Yeah.
And you know, what's really cool is this was probably the first competition that I was mentally, even though I was nervous, I was able to bounce back, because there was been so many competitions where if I zeroed on something, I just like, oh fuck, you know, I fucking zeroed, like give up, kind of mentally you give up, not like you're not going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
This time I was like, all right, I zeroed on that. We got the rest of this fucking day and I got tomorrow. So get my shit back together. Cause I went from last, second to last to top 10. Wow. And that was,
so let's talk about that a little bit. Why do you think that is? How have you change? How has your mental, you know, maybe experiences changed since before to now where you're at now?
Well, now it's like, you know, hey, I zeroed, but we got like five more things to do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, I'm not going to let that one thing ruin the other ones.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to, I didn't want to be in that headspace. So I was like, you know what? It's just another day at the gym.
Yeah.
Let's go get it done. And I feel like I knew I was capable of, and I didn't let the fact that, I mean, even if you did, like, even if you did like 215 in training, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden at the comp, it's like, oh, it's only 210 and you miss it. It's like, you know, not only do you need to be mentally strong to know that your strength doesn't define you either.
Yes.
You know, there's so much more to being an athlete and a competitor than just what you can lift. It's like mentally, hey, I did this. It doesn't mean I'm not strong because I didn't do it today.
Yeah.
You know, so keep it pushing, like keep loving yourself, keep being like, okay, this is not the end of me.
Right.
So this isn't the end. It's just, we're just getting started. So let's fucking do it.
Yeah. I think when people wrap their identity, a lot of women, I think in strength sports, especially if they've just started out, I think wrap their identity a lot in their lifts. And once again, it becomes this comparison, you know, where we used to compare physically. Now we're comparing strengths, you know, like, well, she's been only lifting a year. How come I can't lift? She's my height. She's my weight. She's, you know, my whatever. Why can I be that way? You know, and then it becomes this comparison that just once again beats you down. Yeah.
Which is, as women, is like, dude, do we need anything else to be, you know, secure about? I don't think we need to be insecure about every fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. So it's like, don't let anything define you. You are a multi, like, cornucopia of amazing things.
Yeah.
Don't let one little thing or one wrong move or one failure make you feel like you are a failure. It's not like that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I try to, like, keep telling people, like, being a good competitor is hard. You could be an amazing athlete and not be a good competitor.
Oh, yeah.
But you can get better at everything. And when it comes together, you know, like, if I would have let my shit go, I would have stayed probably last five or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I was able to bring it, turn it around. And all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, it ain't over yet. I'm like, my numbers are getting up. You know what I mean? And then finally I could not be happier to be in top 10.
I love that. I mean, it does take a sense of perseverance. And that is something that I think people have to become, once they become more secure with themselves and confident, then they can persevere a little bit more, you know? And I think it just takes those small steps, you know, okay, you're winning at this, you're not comparing, you got to make those small transitions and then you feel better about yourself. Then I think you have more going in saying, you're right. Like, why am I doing so much comparison? Because in the end, I always think to myself, like, you shouldn't wrap so much around it because it is just a hobby for us. You know, we love it, but it is not define who you are, you know? And that, I think that's a great lesson that you probably have learned early on, because here you are still competing with a fucked up leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that is perseverance.
I was like, I'll cut it off. We're doing this shit. It's going down. There's no way. And, you know, and too, like, when you have like kids and you take time away from your children to do something that makes you feel good about yourself, I think that when things like that happen, it gives you the extra push because you got a little pair of eyes watching you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do I want my son to, you know, do something and then be like, oh, I failed. I am a failure. Or do you want to just say, hey, I didn't happen that day. Doesn't matter. It's just one day.
100%. You know what I mean? I have that lesson with my kids too, because right now they're in jiu-jitsu and they loved it. You know, like in the beginning, one loved it. One didn't like it. And I have three girls. So one liked it, one didn't like it. Well, now it's switched. So the other one likes it and the other one doesn't. And I said, well, why don't, you know, what's going on? Why don't you like it anymore? Well, it's just hard, you know, because in the beginning it was easy, right? So she could dominate here and there. But now that she's moving up, it's actually getting harder for her. And so that's sort of the lesson that my husband and I try to talk about too. You know, it's everything's hard in the beginning. And I think seeing those failures that I've had, I try to be very open with them with those things, you know. I failed a lot. And when I was a kid, I was always afraid to do things. And if it wasn't for my mother sort of pushing me out of my comfort zone, I would have never done almost everything extra that I did, because I was always embarrassed as a kid. So I'd be embarrassed for every little thing I didn't do right. But in the end, nobody.
If I'm not the best at this, then I shouldn't do it or whatever. But I mean, which is another thing. I was actually just talking to somebody recently about our kids, and I guess her kid is doing soccer, and they gave all the kids trophies. I was like, that's stupid as fuck. I'm sorry.
How old is the kid?
No, the kid's six, but instead of like saying, oh, you know, like both teams, one of the teams won, obviously one lost, and then the kids who lost got trophies. And I'm just like, why?
I don't understand that. At least they kept score. Do you know there's a lot of games that they don't even keep score?
I just think it's weird that we have participation awards for everyone. Like, there has to be, like, with the kids, it's like, you know, we tell our kids, you're doing great, you're awesome, you can win, you know, you lose, whatever. But, yeah. Like, I think instilling in your kids that, oh, whatever, everyone gets a trophy, it's like, then what are you working for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's okay that people lose. Like, I tell them that. It's okay that you lose.
No, you will not always win. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, I think it's so cool with kids because there's like little sponges, you know, they soak up all that. But it's like, you know, all those good vibes that you get. I mean, you should, even if you lose, hey, fight another day. No problem. I think that's something that's kind of getting lost on some of the way they're doing stuff with, like, oh, well, we're going to give all the kids a trophy.
I agree.
What about the girl who really won?
I know when they're like really young, like four, okay, I could see that because they don't really even care. You know what I mean? There's no sense of competition in them at that age. There's been conversations come up with my husband and I. We're talking to the kids and we're like, well, you know, they lost. Well, it's okay. We all won. I'm like, no, you guys didn't win. They lost, but that's okay. You know, and you need to learn that losing doesn't feel good, and it's okay that it doesn't feel good, but you can't avoid that and just make everything just like blanket okay.
Right.
Yeah. And
I'm in the same exact way. I feel the same exact way. It's so, like, it's, you have to feel good about the fact that you tried.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, and you still have to love yourself when you lose. Otherwise, you're not going to get back in there. You're not going to keep going.
Yeah, I completely agree. So before we wrap it up, what are some myths and maybe some things that people think strong women have to go through, or maybe some things that you've heard along the way? Because there's a lot of things that powerlifters hear, but I feel like strong women like might hear more of it.
Most of the time, if you are strong and you're okay, almost everybody in strong, people think any woman who's doing strongman is somehow juiced up. I never thought about that. And it's, yeah, like I've had people ask me like straight out, like they'll see me do a good lift and be like, what are you on? And I'm like, well, that's fucked up. Like, I've been on this shit for 3 years. Yeah. That's what like, I'm trying to work out. I don't know. I think that there's also I'm trying to think of something that's just like ridiculous. There's so much ridiculous shit. I think a lot of the time women who see other women that are in strongman assume that we're a little bit meaner or kind of like, I don't know, like maybe intimidating in some way, like we're not friendly. And it's so far from the truth. Like Monica, who actually I talked to you about, she and I have literally been going back and forth for 3 years. I win, she'll win, blah, blah, blah.
So you lost by 0.5 points, right, this time?
Yeah. But it happens all the fucking time. But she's like one of my fucking like closest friends. Wow. Like, it's not like that. And honestly, a lot of times I think it's sad that people would be intimidated by other women, like, because I want more women to get involved. Don't be intimidated.
Yes.
I think sometimes there's like this, because it's kind of like a boys club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people assume like, okay, if she's doing that, she's probably, you know, kind of more, not as open to being, you know, helpful or, you know, somebody I can talk to. I've had people like say, oh man, I didn't talk to you at the gym forever because I was, you know, you had this look on your face. And I was like, I'm training, but like, I'll give you a hug.
Like that's just my face.
Right. Yeah. I think that there's, I don't know if there's, I can't really think of that many things that people have said to me that weren't just ridiculous, that I'm sure you get in powerlifting too when you're strong.
Yeah, I feel like what you're saying is the exact same thing. And I think because the sport elicits a lot of aggression and anger, and those sort of emotions can be very intimidating. And I think if you're a woman and you're comfortable with showing that part, then it's even more intimidating.
Exactly.
Because it's empowering, you know, like, oh, she don't give a fuck, you know, like she don't care. She's screaming. She's wearing a Goonies shirt down, walking with some yolk.
I just lifted something and pissed myself and still don't care.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And I was just having this conversation about pissing the other day. And I was telling somebody about the show and I was like, you know, we're going to talk about things like peeing and stuff. You know, I mean, it just, and they were like, no problem. But like, if I say that to anybody else, they'd be like, what goes on with that?
I realized in the last 3 years, I've never talked about so many bowel movements in my life. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I'm like, man, I got this great stuff. I've been going regular. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing right now? Like, we're at dinner and I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
This is totally normal. But I don't think there's much that I can think of offhand that you probably haven't already heard. I think with Shield Maiden, the reason that I love it so much is because, you know, with, you know, the whole Viking, like, old school, I love the fact that, you know, you can wear a kilt. That's dope.
Yeah.
I love, like, the Highland stuff. And it's like the whole idea is, I mean, there's woman warriors who did this kind of shit for fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just like how the history of it, the essence of where it comes from is like, didn't matter what you looked like. It didn't matter anything. If you're a woman or a man, like, you could go to war.
Yeah.
So like, that's what this is about. Women can do the same shit and we're probably a little bit scarier while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with the war paint on it and shit like that.
So what would you say to somebody who is listening that maybe is interested, a woman that is interested in trying strongman? What kind of advice would you give to her?
I would say, reach out. Well, try to reach out to me on Shield Maiden.
I think so. You sound super, I mean, I'd want to reach out to you if I was starting because you sound inviting. You know what I mean? I think that's the number one thing is people are afraid and they're not willing to take that step. But right now, I mean, you opening your arms like that creates such a low, you know, entry for everybody.
And I honestly, my thing is, if you're interested, and I would love for you to come to me because I know a lot of people and I could probably find someone in your area.
Yeah.
But just don't be scared to ask the people doing the things how they are doing those things. Like if you see someone at the gym or you happen to know a guy that lifts Atlas stones, like, reach out. We're all pretty much open and excited for someone to, you know, be interested in it in the first place, but definitely just do it.
Yeah.
Don't say I can't lift it. I hate when people say, oh, I'm going to go work out for a year by myself, so I'm in shape when I go to the gym. That is like the craziest shit ever. Like, if you're ready to do it. Cause we all start, you have to start somewhere, but to put off, like, putting off, your learning curve just because you're intimidated is not going to help you.
Yeah.
Just get in there, get dirty, find someone who can help you and reach out and somebody you'll get there. You just have to make sure that you're fucking hungry for it. Especially if you're a woman, just fucking get in there, find me, find anyone that's doing it in the area. I mean, if there's a gym that offers it, you could even go on their Facebook and just secretly message them and ask them. Sometimes they have boot camps that have those implements. And then you can kind of just see how you feel about it with a big group of people who have never done it before.
Oh my gosh, that's the kind of boot camp I want with those implements.
I'm literally going to start doing one at our gym soon. But there's a lot of gyms that have boot camps for, especially because CrossFit is now doing so much strongman stuff.
Yep.
You might be able to just try it out under the radar if that's where you want to be, you know. But I mean, reaching out to the gyms directly helped me a lot because there was no Shield Maiden when I was doing it. So when I had questions or if I was like, hey, can I try this, I would go on Facebook and just message the owners of the gym. They're always willing to help you find somebody.
Yeah, that's so, you know, it's even we do sort of a lunchtime class and it's just a small circuit. And it's all pretty much like strongman stuff. So I got carries, sled pushes, sled drags. I got all of that. But, you know, it's on a smaller scale. But, yeah, I mean, for that exact reason, because it gets you conditioned. It helps with all of that. And it's not like the basic, you know, find at most gyms.
Sorry. I think just
no problem. Sure. Well, I want to thank you. This was phenomenal. This was a great, great show. And I just like, I feel like I learned so much more about you and then strongman. And why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
You guys can find us on Facebook, Shield Maiden Squad. We're on Instagram, Shield Maiden Squad again. My personal, if you guys have like personal questions or you want to reach out and not make it a big deal, I won't tell anybody, but my personal Instagram is HulkSmashly31. You can also email me at shieldmaidensquad@gmail.com. But I'm ever need anything, I'm always there.